Well, today is going to be a little bit different than normal. Carissa and I were talking about the young adult Sunday school lesson. And there are two sections to that lesson, and we got stuck on one part of it. And we had a really good conversation about it, and she and I bounce ideas off of each other. And what do you think about this? And this is what it means, and we help each other flesh out what the Bible means. Like, Chris and I talk about God together, and it's great because she is really smart, and she helps me think. A great deal of what you hear up here is usually the result of me and Carissa talking. I spend time studying, and here's what the Bible says. How does that fit into our lives? And a lot of that's a result of what we say. Well, I thought rather than actually hijacked half of the young adult lesson, they only got half of their lesson this morning because I hijacked the other part, and we're going to hear about that this morning. And I thought rather than me trying to recreate it all by myself, it would be great if you got to listen to how Carissa and I think. Now, if we've refined it a little bit, we've put it, kind of organized it, but this is how our conversations go. So if she would come up here with me, she and I are going to talk through these things. And together, maybe we will gain a better understanding of what this Sabbath issue is all about. That was our class lesson was about resting on the Sabbath and having peace in God. And so this is the resting the Sabbath portion of it. But the whole idea of the Sabbath began early on in the Bible, but God actually made it one of the Ten Commandments, you know, right along with don't murder, don't cheat on your wife, don't covet your neighbor's possessions. Like, God gave them to that person, let them have it, and you keep what belongs to you. Don't have any other false gods. In that list is another command. Here's that command. This is in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. It says, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. So the question is, why do we have a Sabbath? Well, here's what happened. Quick recap of the story in Genesis. There were 6 days of creation. Day one, God created the heavens and the earth. Day two, he created the sky and a barrier between the surface of the earth and the moisture that was in the air. That's a really cool study if you ever want to go kind of deep. That's really cool. On day three, he created the dry land and vegetation. On day four, he created the stars and the heavenly bodies, the moon and the sun. On day five, he created life in the water and in the air. And on day six, he created all the other animals and then human. He created mankind. And then on day seven, he rested. Why did God rest on the Sabbath? Well, some people think that he may have rested because he was tired. Like, he had worked 6 days. He put in long hours. Look at everything he did. And so God must command this day of rest because God needed to rest. And so we have to rest too. But if you think about that for a second, the question, did God really need to rest? Like, did God expend all of his energy so he had to stop and rejuvenate? No. What he did was he created for 6 days And on the Sabbath, he rested, not to renew his energy, but so that he could sit back and admire the beauty of what had taken place the previous 6 days. He rested so that he could enjoy his creation. That's why God rested. That's a little bit different than the perspective that many of us have right now.
Right. So first we identified, what is it that, what group of people are we a part of? We're in the United States, and we have a culture, we have a way that we look at Sundays, we look at the Sabbath, and we've kind of narrowed down our what we think of as Sunday or the Sabbath, and we've gotten it twisted. And so the first thing that some of us tend to think, especially, I'd say, church-going Americans, is that we think of the Sabbath as a day to just finally collapse. It's a day to just throw in the towel and lay down and take a Nazarene nap so that we can have what it takes to get back on track on Monday. So it's more of a recovery day. It's a day to chill out and have time to ourselves. That's definitely true. We can rest. But we're going to look in a moment of why that doesn't hit it right on the head. Second, some of us see it, maybe we don't have really that demanding of jobs. Some of us work super hard and we get physically tired through the week. Some of us maybe have a better pace, and by Sunday we're not totally exhausted. We'd actually like to do other things, if we want to be honest. And the Sabbath and Sunday and what our family would like us to do with them on Sunday is an interruption to the other things that we really prefer to do, whether that be just sleeping in or maybe just staying in a tent all weekend. Who knows? There might be things that are fun to do, and we see Sunday and its activities as an abrupt interruption to that. Third, sometimes it's just a check-in point. We think of it as those are my people. True, that's true. Those are my people, those are my friends. I want to check in with them. I go to church, I see them. We know how we're doing. It's like Facebook in person, you know, how God intended. I get to see Tiffany's face, and I know she's swell, and then I can leave happy. That's the third way. That leaves us, those three things, if those are the fulfillment, or that's how we see Sabbath, they can leave us feeling pretty dry.
So what if, though, like I'm going through my week, and I've managed everything, I don't feel drained, so I don't feel like I have to have that day of rest. What if I see my friends during the week, and so I don't feel like, well, I have to go to church on Sunday to finally see somebody that I, like, we're Christians together. So all of those secondary issues that sometimes we think that's why we go to church. What if I don't have that strong need? Sometimes what happens is, well, I come to church anyway, and Sunday morning may feel kind of meaningless because I've placed my hope on Sundays now in somebody else's effort to prepare for Sunday. If what we usually do is that we come to church and hope that other people have prepared their best so that when I come to worship God, I can participate in someone else's preparation to worship. And if somebody else hasn't prepared adequately to worship God, then I get nothing out of it. I was talking to someone this week who she was saying that she's looking for a good church. She's not getting anything where she is, and she just needs to worship God, and she needs to find another good church to worship God in so that she can get what she wants. And I recommended she go to a church down the road. Why is that? I was tired, for one, and I didn't have the mental energy to say, look, if you're going to church because you want somebody else to be your spiritual strength, then you're missing the whole point. If we come to church hoping that someone else has worshiped God and we can feed off of their worship, then we're missing the point. Most Americans, myself included, have not created anything beautiful for God during the week. And so when we come to the Sabbath, which is the day of rest to admire God's beautiful creation, we have nothing to admire. The Sabbath can tend to be what Chris has said a little bit ago. The Sabbath becomes more of an interruption in the things that I want to get done rather than a time to sit and reflect on the beauty that God has done for me in the past week. That's what the Sabbath is supposed to be. But most of us wait for the Sabbath so that we can appreciate someone else's worship on the Sabbath. I just got into your stuff a little bit. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's how we do. It's like you're sitting in our living room, right? Except there aren't toys everywhere. So, what about that feeling of interruption that we feel sometimes, or the feeling of the disconnection that we feel between what we do all week and then what we come here and do? Because that's the problem, is this disconnect, that we feel like they're two. Sunday is a separate day where we do this thing, and then the rest of the week is where we do these things. So I'm just going to use what the Bible talks about. I'm going to use the same metaphor the Bible talks about, a wedding. So, of course, when the Bible talks about a wedding, it talks about us preparing ourselves to meet Jesus in our final days, when we die. But it is also a metaphor for how the Jewish people and how people who follow God are supposed to prepare themselves for meeting with him and communion with him on Sunday or on the Sabbath. A wedding. Some of us have experienced weddings recently. And you remember, even back, and even if you've not been a part of a wedding, you can think of all the things that a bride and a groom do to get it ready. Even if it's the simplest wedding you've ever been a part of, there's still a lot of details to work out. And it follows a pattern, and we do all the things. And then the most elaborate weddings are a big deal. And you have a spray tan, and you even shave your legs, and you do all the things, and you do things that make you beautiful, and you get ready for the wedding. And none of us, raise your hand if you have, because I'd love to hear the story later. Seldom do we ever hear of a bride not showing up to the wedding because she really got caught up in the fun shaving her legs and doing her hair thing, and she just didn't have time to go to the wedding because she was having so much fun getting ready. Or she got so busy doing other things. Like, well, I actually ended up having a lot of fun playing with my dog and walking my cat or whatever else people do with cats. I don't know. And decided not to go to the actual reason why this is all so good, why you're getting ready, what you're doing in your life, is because worshiping God is the culmination of all the getting ready, all the doing, and all the flustering about during the week, is because spending this time worshiping God is the final goal. That's what all the other stuff is for.
Yeah. So the wedding, we spent like 45 minutes on this. Like, the wedding is the culmination of all of the work. The wedding day is not an interruption in, like, some people love planning. If you're an administrator type person, you might really enjoy that. We're going to stay here for just a second, if that's okay. You might really enjoy that part of it. And I really enjoy doing all this, but you do not accept a proposal from a man or a woman so that you can spend the next few months planning the wedding. The point is, the goal is to have the wedding day arrive. And there are times in church life where we look at the Sabbath as an interruption to the other things that are going on, but we have to stop the other things that are going on so that we can come to church and sit for an hour. Or if you come to Sunday school, it's 3 hours. Wedding, the church worship is an interruption. But if it's accurately taking place, the worship service, this Sabbath day of rest, is actually the time where we participate in what we've been doing all week. So if I'm living my life for God and I am taking a hold of this concept of the week and the Sabbath, what would that look like in my life? Well, in the Bible, there are a lot of passages that talk about getting up in the morning and spending time talking to God. Beginning my day with, by saying, God, you have given me this day, and I want you to use me to create something beautiful with it. You have given me this job that may not be so beautiful, but I believe that you can take ashes and turn them back into new life. Or I believe you can take chaos and turn it into order. So depending on where you work or where you're living, you may have one of those perspectives. If you have a boring, monotonous job, you think, God, how can you take this thing that seems to have no impact on anyone and do something beautiful with it? Well, if you begin your day by asking God to use you to create something beautiful, that's where God steps in, and he does things that we are not capable of doing. Because if I could plan it all out and make it all happen, I wouldn't need God. I could have the Church of Ben Muncie, and nobody would come because it's really boring. And I can't do anything. But if I would trust God every day to use me to create something beautiful, like, God, how can I take what you have given me and turn it into something that I can worship you with? So that when I come to the Sabbath, I'm not empty-handed, or I have nothing to look back and admire. It just depends on what your focus is on each day. Where your focus is determines how your Sabbath is.
Yes. And that focus, how do we do it every day? How do you look for it specifically? And what do you gather to bring with you to God when we get to gather, not get together, but we gather on purpose and we're here in the same room? There's a power in that, because when the music is happening on the platform, and there are times that you get here and the music isn't, there's no connection. And why is that lady raising her hands? This song is so super old, and I don't even connect to it, and we have these feelings. So this is what happens during the week. I'll tell you what happens during the week that can take place that will lead you to a Sabbath that is so rich and meaningful and as God intended. It's a matter of asking, like Ben said, asking each day, what is it about this day that is yours, God? And what can I do that is your creation? And what am I purposed for? So that when you get to Sunday, you can spend the whole morning thanking him for it in a group, maybe in your class, maybe during the worship. So for us, I think there are times when a song is going on, or Ben's preaching, or I'm working with the kids, and the thing in the back of my mind that's driving my worship is that God did something on Tuesday that I couldn't do on my own, that he helped me pray with somebody that I didn't even know needed prayer, or he helped me see somebody's need that it wasn't obvious, but except for that tapping from God, or that connection that I didn't know needed made, an email I needed to send to a few people that I shouldn't even be worried. I was prompted one week to send messages to some of the mothers of children we fostered. These are women who shouldn't be big fans of ours because we're involved with DCS and we took their kids, right? And God said, write them a note. Write them a letter. Well, what do I say, God? Hey, I don't have your kids anymore. They're somewhere else. Or they're back with you or whatever. Hey, remember that really awful time in your life and I was involved with it? That didn't feel like something I had a real good handle on how to do, but I did what God told me to do, and beautiful conversations and healing came from it. And so, on Sunday morning, when there's a song praising God for how faithful he is, I raise my hand. That's why my hand can't stay down sometimes, because through the week he did something. He did something amazing. So you get up in the morning saying, God, I'll do it. I'll do it. Just tell me what it is. the connection that you've made with somebody this way. When God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, love him and love one another. If you're loving one another all week, then on Sunday, it's super easy to love him. Gets there real fast. Go ahead. Next card's yours.
The key, I guess, when I stopped and I said, and I just read like a page of my notes to her, is when this solidified in my mind. I read something, and this is where it all came. The Sabbath is not an interruption in the week, but the time to celebrate what God has done during the week. It's not an interruption. The Sabbath is not an interruption. For those people who have lived their week asking God to use them, God, use me. What do you have for me? How can I be the child you want me to be this week? When I get to the Sabbath, it is a time to rest and look back and say, you have done something beautiful. Every day that God created, the last thing that it says at each verse, and it was good. Day two, it was good. When he got to day six and he created humans, it was very good. And on the Sabbath, he sat back, not because he was tired and not because he just needed a break, but because he wanted to admire the beauty of his work. And our Sabbath is not intended to be an interruption or a mandatory sit down and don't do anything. It's a time of reflection, of looking back on what God has used us to do during the week. So how do I know what I should be doing during the week so that I can have this meaningful Sabbath? I do know that I cannot fabricate a meaningful worship service for you. I have prepared my own heart to worship God during the week. I cannot do that for you. But if you want to, how do you do that? What are some key steps? Well, I like to keep things simple. So we have two simple things.
Right. That's you. He's right. There's no formula. And if we could give a Cliff Notes and a list of here are the things you could check off through the week, and your week would be a perfect package to deliver to God on Sunday, I wish we could do that. We'd publish it for sure, share it. But it is a personal, an individual thing, and a conversation that can only happen between you and your Lord. To ask him, not asking him to reinvent the wheel every day. You still go to the same job, probably, although he might switch that up now and time and again. But to reinvent something new and a new love of people. And what is it? What is the thing that you'll have me do today? What's my to-do list, Lord? And then to seek. So it is one thing to get up in the morning, and it's very easy to pray and say, God, whatever it is. And then everything annoying happens before you leave the door. And you're frustrated before you get to work or wherever you're going. And then all that asking was just... So the seeking is finding and looking throughout the day. I have a friend that when we drive anywhere, if he sees any car anywhere on the side of the road for any reason, I can see the steering wheel. He's always finding a way to help somebody. That's where his head is always. And it's unstoppable because they ask God, how can I help somebody? And then when you're seeking it, you find ways all day, and God puts them right in front of your face.
And if you've done that, ask and seek, then when you come to the Sabbath, it is a time to celebrate. So the first thing you do, you ask and seek. And then when the Sabbath is here, that is my time to celebrate. As soon as church is over, we are getting in our truck and we're going to St. Louis. And we're going to be gone for 4 days. And if I were ever tempted to think, I've just got to get through the church service and then we're gone, today's the day. Today is a great day to think, Can I just throw something together and make it happen so that 11:35 will get here and we can leave? Today's a prime day. It just so happens that we were preparing a sermon on the Sabbath, and so obviously I can't do that because it's in the front of my mind. Today is not a day that I just get through so that I can go on and do what I want to do. Today, even though I'm leaving in 15 minutes, today is a day when I step back and I say, God, you have used me this week in ways that I could not have even imagined. I buried my friend this week. It's the first time I've ever buried a friend. It was beautiful and horrible at the same time. But I could step back and say, God, I don't know how you've given me such good friends, but thank you for letting me be a part of her life. You can look at other things. You all have some things too where you can step back. If I use the Sabbath as my day to say, Lord, thank you for being a part of who I am. And the more of these Sabbaths I take and say, thank you for being a part of who I am, the more I realize God's not just a part of who I am, but the more my focus shifts to who God is, the more he becomes who I am, so that I become a reflection of him. And the more I serve God with what he has given me, the more I look like him to the people around me. And when I come to my Sabbath, I can say, God, you have changed me into more of your image this week. Thank you. If I'm using my week to create something beautiful with what God's given me, my Sabbath is a time to worship him for what he's done. I'm going to ask you to stand for just a second. And I know this is different. We have never done this before, so everything's a little weird. But we're going to close. I'm going to pray. And I'm not going to ask. You don't have to do anything big and dramatic, but you might not even be able to say, you know what? The first step of asking God to be in charge of my life, I haven't ever done that. And that's a great place to begin. Before you worship him, he needs to be your Lord. And as we pray, if you want to start there and say, God, forgive me for my sin, and I want you to be the Lord of my life. It's that simple. There's no magic formula, just admitting that you need him. That's a great place to start. If you've already done that, but you realize that you've been approaching the Sabbath incorrectly, today is a fantastic day because now you have been shown God's word and you have a better understanding, and now we have the chance to apply God's word to our lives. And this might be a time where you stop and say, God, teach me how to worship you during the week so the Sabbath can be what you've intended. So maybe you need to ask him to be your Lord, or maybe you need him to redirect you. As we pray, this would be a good time to do that. And if you do, if you don't mind, I know I'm leaving, but shoot me a text or stop me before I go and say, hey, Ben, I just want you to know. I would love to hear that. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us a time to know you better. Thank you for requiring that we rest and reflect. And I hope that you can take the words that have been said this morning, and that you can cause them to be life and in our lives. Give us new life and hope. Thank you for an understanding of who you are. For anyone here that's asking you to be their Lord, please give them a peace and assurance that it is done, it is finished, that you have forgiven them and they are a part of your family. For those of us who have asked you to forgive us for being distracted, remind us during the coming days that we are to be used by you. Help me, even though I'm going on vacation, I still want you to use me to show people who you are. We trust you with our lives, and we ask that everything that we do would bring honor to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hope you have a good week, and we'll see you next Sunday.